This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Welcome. Thank you for joining me. Please open your King James Bible to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 19, where we left off last time. Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 19. Just before we do, I want to invite everyone under the sound of my voice to come to my school, Sherry Medlock School, Cocoa, Florida, on Christmas Eve, which happens to be a Sunday, December 24th at 5 p.m. for a beautiful Christmas worship service right here. Yes, I will be teaching the word, but we're going to have a beautiful program and costumes and beautiful skits and music and refreshments. So what a great way to spend your Christmas Eve, December 24th, here at my school. Special Christmas worship service with the word. We'll probably have communion too, plus refreshments and a beautiful musical program, plus some little movie screen there and refreshments. So come then. Also, every Thursday, we'll still hear Scott joins me from 12 noon to 2 p.m. Stop in during that time and we'll pray for you, or you may call in on the phone and we'll pray for you. Wednesday, 6 p.m., Word and Prayer, and of course, always on Sundays, Word and Prayer. And now Ephesians chapter 4, verse 19. The Apostle Paul is in prison as he writes to a church he founded, the Ephesians, and he's already told them about the mystery of God, the first earth age when Satan rebelled and said, I will be God, Isaiah 14. Then he told them about God bringing in the second earth age and sending everybody out in a flesh body, especially those who had betrayed him there, to accept Jesus, and that Jesus came and shed his precious blood. And then after that third chapter, he began to tell the church at Ephesus how to live the Christian life. He had quite a few heathen who were new converts, and they didn't know they were saved, but they didn't quite know how to live the Christian life. You get saved, but you're still a baby. So we left off last week. Paul had said to them in the church, he said, some of you are blind of heart. Now, we know that blind of eyes is not a comfortable thing, but blind of heart, that's even worse. Well, let's find out what it means. Verse 19 will tell us.
19, who being past feeling.
Blind of heart means that you are past feeling. The Greek word there is cauterized. You're cauterized. In early America, the way they treated a wound, it was so bad they would have to take a hot branding iron and cauterize the wound. It would stop the blood flow and kill all the cells and nerves so you could not feel one thing. So he says to them, you, although you opened your heart to accept Jesus, since you accepted him, you have cauterized your heart. You have cut off any feelings for one another. A cauterized heart, a blind heart, can stand right in front of you, see you in all kinds of misery, seeing that all of your life needs help, and just stare at you. They wouldn't hurt you, but they would just stare at you. They could never. They are dehydrated in the heart. They have no tears for anyone but themselves. The only water that ever pours out of their heart is tears for themselves. They can never feel your pain, which is a sin, because we're one body, and he says we're to bear one another's burdens. When you rejoice, I rejoice with you. When you cry, I cry with you. So it says you've cauterized your hearts. Now, I want to explain something. Some people say, well, the reason I've hardened my heart is because these horrible things happened to me, and I don't want this to happen again. You know, I've been counseling people a long time, and I have been through torture in my life. If I told you what people have done to me, you would cry even if you were cauterized in your heart. But do you know I won't use that for an excuse? What a miserable person to go through this earth life never opening up your heart to love. You have missed it all. You have missed the greatest joy of all, of opening up your heart and feeling other people's pain. You don't have to solve their problem. Just cry with them. Let them know that you feel it. And that means a lot. And so some of you have done that, so stop that right now. Quit that. We've all had trouble, so you have to get up. And to cut out about people and not to give them love. Because one of the greatest joys as a Christian is to know that you've been used by God to comfort someone when they were just falling apart. I mean, it's not just that you hug them. A cold, cauterized heart can hug you, but it would be if your spirit hugs them. They know the difference. Everybody knows the difference, because a lot of people say, "Let me know if I can help you. I'm sorry that happened to you." And there's no drop of grief coming them. There's no feeling there. And any sensitive person will know that. But even worse, to have a cauterized heart, is if you cauterize your heart to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And Paul's about to tell them about that. In other words, the Holy Spirit came alongside of you when you got saved. He walks beside you. He's your paraclete. He's there all the time. He never leaves you, never forsakes you. He'll teach you. He'll guide you and lead you, direct you. Anything you need to ask God, you can ask him. And when he's not going to leave you like he is, the Holy Spirit is Jesus. He knows you need to grow from a milk bottle Christian to a strong warrior type Christian who can defeat demons and increase the kingdom of God. So he's going to perpetually try to draw you to come on up. When you persist and persist and persist in shutting that heart, cauterizing your heart to his promptings, you just put your hands together and I will not yield to you. I will not do that. How about that time you said something came to you? Said, you know, you ought to call that person. You ought to go take that person for a ride. You ought to go do something. You should do something. And you say, you know, that's a good idea. I'll do it sometime. But the next day, the Holy Spirit tells you to do the same thing. You really ought to do that. No. You were shutting your heart. You can over-cauterize so the Holy Spirit will never use you again, and then you're in deep trouble. So a cauterized heart is not pretty. And the person that hurts the most is you. And he says, you've cauterized your heart. Let's see what they had done.
Have given themselves over to lasciviousness.
They gave themselves over to sexual immorality. A lot of those people were heathen, so they didn't have any sexual morals to go by anyway. Many years ago in the United States of America, Hollywood planted seeds of sexual immorality, every kind of aberration, every kind of sin you could think about, having sex and having babies out of wedlock, men with men, women with women, having affairs, sex here, people living together before marriage. And so what has happened? America became cauterized by that. Look today and we'll see a man, a woman, they'll say, well, we're going to get married so we'll live together. They've been cauterized to the fact that that's a sin. God says not to do that. He says the marriage bed is undefiled, but otherwise it's a big sin. And so we've been so cauterized to that a young couple can buy themselves a house and move in. They're not married. You'll even go buy them a gift. You're enabling them. It's kind of like giving a girl who's had a baby out of wedlock. We love them. We don't condemn them, but it is a sin. They haven't been forgiven the sin, and we give them a baby shower. See, we've cauterized ourselves to sin. Be careful about that. But what's happening, America is now reaping the harvest of those seeds that Hollywood sown, and that's why everything's breaking loose here, and everybody's been exposed for this horrible sex scandals and everything. So that's what it is. We're reaping what has been sown. But you see, America has been cauterized to what is wrong and what is right, because bit by bit by bit, see, if you persist, and it may seem like a small thing, maybe the Holy Spirit keeps nudging you. He knows you're a baby, and it's going to start with something that you can handle. He doesn't tell you to go and move a mountain the first day. But if you keep doing that, you shut the door, hardening your heart. And Hebrews says, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation. They hardened their heart one time too much to God, and he killed them all. Meanwhile, let's see what else we got here.
To work all uncleanness with grievousness, to have not shown one Christ.
What he's saying is, I did not teach you that. God's word did not teach you that. You were not taught to live with each other out of wedlock. You were not taught men with men and women with women. You were not taught to have affairs. Right now in the United States of America, the Christian church is packed with sexual sin. People in the congregation having sex with each other, illicit affairs, aberrations, different things. We don't hate those people, but God says this is wrong. And people living together, not married. And see, we've cauterized our heart. We just say, but they're so sweet. They come to our church. And they're bringing that sin in there, and that sin brings a demon and sits beside you. And you go out to dinner with that demon, and you say, you're such a nice demon. Don't you see that's how the devil gets in? That's how the devil gets into you. That's how he gets into the place. That's how he's gotten into the country. It seems so sweet, cauterized to what is wrong or right.
21, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. 22, but you put off concerning the former conversation.
Conversation means lifestyle. So he says, what you do when you get saved, your life should change. If you're truly saved, those people you ran around with, you might love them. But if you weren't saved then, you weren't running around with people who love Jesus and are dedicated to Jesus and are filled with the Holy Spirit and casting out demons and healing. No, you weren't. You're running around with people who are self-absorbed in things about the world. So see, that would not interest you anymore. I want you to understand, we're stewards of our money, we're stewards of our talent, and we're stewards of our time. In other words, if the people you used to go with, if they bring you down, or if they shut the door so you cannot serve the Lord or take up time that you could be going in your car and witnessing to someone, then that is a sin. Jesus gave an example in the Beatitudes. He said, we're members of one body. You know, in a physical body, we have many parts. We got the legs, and we got the feet and the toes, and we got the eye. Jesus says, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. It doesn't mean literally, don't pluck your eye out. It means if there's someone else in the body of Christ that's doing something and you've been associating with them and they're living in sin, you've witnessed to them, they do nothing about it. If you keep going there, you're enabling them and you're becoming, your heart is getting harder and harder to that sin. In other words, you need to cut yourself off. Come out and be separate, he says. We're to live holy, sanctified lives. We're not our own. We're bought with a price. We're not supposed to live like we did. We don't go to the same places. We don't do the same things. Our Christmas dinners and our Thanksgiving dinners, the whole thing should be God, 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 God. There's nothing else but God. Look what he's done. See, that should be. And you do well if you get one person to pray and then jabba, jabba, jabba away they go. See that? See how we've been dumbed down? We have caustically, we have just cauterized our hearts to what is right. We're supposed to be holy people, God, and that's our purpose in life. And anybody that you're with so much and that can't be your purpose, cut it off. Come out from among them and be you separate, saith the Lord.
The old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. 23, and being renewed by the Spirit.
Okay, put off that old man. That's sort of like a filthy garment. In other words, just as you took off your filthy sins and you put on the robe of righteousness when you got saved, so now you put off those relationships, those friendships where they pull you down and where they lead you astray. If you used to go with people who drank or did drugs or illicit sex or that kind of a thing, then you separate yourself from them. But it's not always associating stuff that with people who sin that should be. It can be associated with people who simply don't let you be fully dedicated to God. In other words, you would offend them if you are. So he says, put off that old man. Move yourself out from those old relationships and put on, be renewed by the renewing of your mind. Come out. Now somebody say, yes, but if I leave all my friends that I had before I got saved, before I was sanctified, I wouldn't have any friends. That could be very, very well true. But you see, what fellowship hath light with darkness? Nothing. What fellowship have a saved person with a lost? Nothing. What fellowship has a baby worldly Christian with a sanctified Holy Spirit Christian? Nothing. See? In other words, what fellowship is God or the devil? Nothing. So in other words, all you're doing is bringing yourself down. So he says, come out, put that off like a garment there. But he says, put on the renewing of your mind. Your mind is your spirit. You're your spirit. Your spirit is the intellect of the soul. What do we put on? We put on the Word of God. We are washed with water by the Word of God. Hallelujah. We take a shower. We put on the blood. We put on the Holy Spirit. And we find a place where the Word of God is taught, where we are loved and welcomed unconditionally, and where 24 hours a day someone is loving and caring for us. This is a place you can come here. And we fill ourselves that. Yes, there may be a while that you're walking lonely, but I can tell you one thing. If you will decauterize your heart, you came in late there, we had the cauterization of the heart thing. If you'll decauterize your heart, you'll start loving people, and love is attractive. When you love people, that's an attractive thing. People feel the coldness and they go away. They feel the warmth and they come to you. And one day God will give you somebody who's a kindred spirit. We're not talking about sex or marriage here. We're just talking about fellowship in the body of Christ, which is what Paul is talking about.
Your mind, 24, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness.
Okay, see, you're a new creation. You're not the same one. So if you're going to think like you used to think, go with the same people you used to think, and they didn't love God, your whole world should change once you get saved. And if you've been saved and you've not been sanctified living in the world, when you come and give your life and repent as a Christian and get sanctified, again, everything should change. You don't read the same things. You don't go the same places. You don't do the same things. You don't talk the same way. You don't think the same way. You're a new creature. All those other things are washed away. So he's warning them, and in other words, they're trying to be saved and keep on with their social life.
And truth holiness, 25, wherefore putting away lying?
Put away lying. Now he's saying, okay, Paul is writing to his church there. I mean, just want to let you know, church, you're a bunch of liars. Winning friends and influencing people is Paul. Okay, I want to tell all of you, and most of you know this, the whole world is lying to us. The whole world is lying to us. Look at the politicians. Some years ago, a president looked in the camera. America, I want you to know, I did not have sex with that woman. Not too long ago, a woman candidate for president said, oh, the reason I deleted and wiped out 30,000 emails was because it was my daughter's wedding. Lies, lies, lies. And everywhere we go, we're getting the lies. The politicians lie. Oh, here was a good one. If you like your policy, you can keep your policy. If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. Everywhere are lies. The politicians lie. They do that. And in the pulpit, they're lying to you. They're going to tell you don't have to be here for the Antichrist, that you're going to fly away. Caught up in the air doesn't mean fly in the sky. Air means the breath of the spirit of the body. When Jesus comes, you're going to change into spirit body right here on earth with Jesus. The only one's going to try to trick you to fly in the air is the Antichrist who comes first. So wherever you go, there are lies. Now, most of you say, well, that's good, that's great, I'm not going to, it doesn't bother me. Wait a minute. Most of you have a Facebook account. Okay, Facebook's lying to you. I mean, they kind of touch themselves up to get that picture on there, you know. And then they don't want you to know the miserable failure that they are. So they put, guess what I got? I got a promotion. Oh, my Lord, what a wonderful life you live. Oh, well, I better put something good about me on the Facebook so I'll be up to them. Keeping up with the Jones on Facebook. Don't believe anything you read on Facebook or the Internet. Read what you read in the Bible. Lies, lies, lies. Well, Jesus says in John 8, your father was a liar. The devil is a liar. Right now, he's the prince of the air. So no wonder the airways are filled with lies.
Speak every man truth with his neighbor.
So instead of lying, let's speak truth with your neighbor. Oh, those people you've been associating going out to dinner and taking up your whole Thanksgiving and Christmas thing and talking about stuff instead of God, which is supposed to be spiritual. Okay, what are you supposed to be talking about as you go out with them? Truth. What is truth? Everybody ought to know it by now. John 17:17. Let's say it. Thy word is truth. So, your obligation, you got saved. If you're going to go talk with those people or anybody, your conversation is supposed to be truth. What is truth? The word of God. Genesis 1 through Revelation 22. There's so many interesting things. You could tell them about the first earth age, the seduction in the garden, the order of the trumps, the fallen angels. They don't know these things. And then there's a zillion things in between. But you see, you have the truth. And did you notice he said to do that? That's in the Bible. God's telling Paul, write that. That's the command. If you don't do that, you're in sin. And you wonder why the showers of blessings are not falling over you. You have to obey. Obedience brings blessings. Obey the word.
For we are members one of another. 26. Be ye angry and sin not.
Be ye angry and sin not. Now, most Christians at first think that if a person gets angry, they're sinning. Not so. I have no respect for a person who never has righteous indignation. You got something missing there. And what it is, your heart's cauterized. You don't care. You don't have any feeling. 9/11, people stopped by my school, and some people said it didn't bother them. They said they're not after me. They were thinking about it. It doesn't matter to me. They're not after me. How about our country was attacked? How about those 3,000 people that got killed? I'm not interested. It was just after me. Cauterized there. Okay? Now, let's go on to the day. Oh, be angry and send out. I want to tell you about Jesus. Jesus was angry. Jesus is the Passover lamb. And shortly before he was going to give his body to be the sacrifice once and for all for sin, he went into the temple and found the church folks there offering unclean animals, diseased animals, mite-infested doves. And this was supposed to symbolize him. And he's the Lamb of God. And in a few days, he's going to be the real sacrifice. He got so upset that he turned the tables over. The money went clanging on the floor. He made a cat of nine tails and beat him on the back and drove him out of the temple. So you're supposed to be so righteously indignated in having indignation of what happened to our country that you should be sweeping them out by powerful, powerful, powerful dunamis prayer. I'll tell you, over 8 years ago, my righteous indignation rose up. I saw a man stand up there, a socialist, with snakes coming out of his mouth, and the Holy Spirit said, oh, forerunner of the Antichrist. And we've been through hell and high water these last 8 years, but I saw it. And I was so angry because I could see the people were deceived. The Christians were deceived. They don't know they sell babies. And so I started praying. I called prayer meetings here for 8 years, every Wednesday, every Sunday, everything in between. Anybody would pray with me. Do you know that their sins are being exposed now? All of that part of the government, that's being exposed now. You hear about it every day, and God is beginning to turn this country around. Yes. But what if I had not had righteous indignation? Well, we could just say, most people say there's nothing I can do about it. They're not after me. See, no. That's what happened to you in the first earth age. You sat there and watched the show. You didn't get up and fight. That's lukewarm. That makes God sick to his stomach.
Let not the sun go down on your wrath.
Now this is talking about something else. If you have a falling out with someone, you can't get along with everybody. We're not supposed to agree with everybody. Sometimes they're just plain wrong. In fact, a lot of times they're wrong. But if there's something, maybe somebody's really done something wrong, or maybe they just tore up something that was very important to you to do for God, and there's an anger, what it means is, if at all possible, live peaceably with them. You do forgive them, but you don't have to trust them. See, trust takes time. You can forgive them, but you don't have to trust them. And you can turn that anger over to God before you get into bed that night. Turn it over to God. Ask him to take it from you. And then just be cautious about the person, but don't go to bed with that on your heart. Take it to God. And it's okay to be angry, but in other words, when he says, sin not, when we realize the socialist demons were taking over our country, we don't go up there and kill them. We just pray them out and vote them out.
27, neither give place to the devil.
Neither give place to the devil. Every time you turn on your internet, your cell phone, your television set, and you watch something that is not clean, you know what I mean, there's all kind of mess going there. It's not just dribble that's going in your eyes and going in your ears. It's giving place for the devil. All he needs is just one little tiny opening, that thing you watch there that you should not be watching, or that little snarky email that you send to somebody in the body of Christ about your pastor. Just kind of a little suggestion. So hopefully you can get some gossip going there. Will they respond? Could they possibly say something about the pastor also, or about one another? All of that opens a door for the devil to come back to you. There is no reason ever to give place to the devil. The devil wants to come in, and he comes in by the places you go and what you say, your words. Every time you speak negative words, every time you speak words against God's man or woman, the door is open to you. Every time you look at that thing on the screen that you should be looking at, you open the door. And every time you do not obey the Holy Spirit, you open the door. So don't give him paying your bills. If the bill is too big, just say, praise God, my God will supply my needs. I give and it'll be given unto me. If your body won't quit hurting you, just say, praise God, with Jesus' stripes I am healed. Don't give place to the devil. Put the truth in there. Shut that door. Keep that door. Many of the churches, most of the churches, half of the Christians are packed with demons themselves. We have to have a good old-fashioned demon cleansing as the church is reformed. Don't give him place. But see, that's up to you. You have to do that.
28, let him that stole steal no more.
Let him that stole steal no more.
But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth.
Now, this is interesting. He's talking to church people. He says, church people don't steal. You say, good Lord, I don't steal. Now, wait a minute. There's this thing of just taking some money out the basket or just going to rob a bank. Malachi chapter 3 says, will a man rob God? God says, yet you have robbed me in tithes and offerings. So if you don't pay your tithes and offerings, you've robbed God. Now, I'll leave that to you. I do not take up a collection, so you just do what you want to with that. Okay? Then we have, how about bankruptcy? There are people that go bankrupt. They can fill up their credit cards. They buy stuff and they try to live like the top dogs, and they can't do it and they go bankrupt. But they've stolen that money because the government won't even let those people call them to try to collect, and the other people never get paid. And then usually those bankrupt people, I've seen people, that's a lifestyle with them. They just go and fill up the credit cards and buy the new car and buy the new TV and buy the new clothes and get the house, and then can't do it, and so they've stolen that money. There may be a few occasions where bankruptcy is called for, but I know that people advised me that. I was driven out by a drug gang 3 times in my studio. I would not do it. I just doubled up my work and I got it paid off. I actually paid one of the last ones this week after all these years. And so in other words, you don't have to do that. That's wrong. You've stolen the money. And what about cheating on your income tax? You're stealing money from other taxpayers then, because see, the government runs on those of us who do pay taxes on our money. Just thought I would little drop note there. Now, did you notice what he said? Don't steal anymore. Rather work so you'll have something to give somebody needs it. Now, how many of you could say, the reason I work on this job is so I can have some money to give to the needy? Do you know I can tell you I do? The greatest joy I have is thank God I got enough money here. I'm going to pay God. I'm going to get the radio. I'm getting the word out. I got a few extra dollars. Instead of going buying me a pretty something or other, or instead of getting my hair cut, I don't do any of those things. I have no creature comforts. I just say, I know somebody's needy. This is, the needy is not the same thing as the tithe and offering. This is extra stuff you give. We're not talking about to bums. We're talking about people down on their luck. You know, a lot of people suffer during the hurricane. And you want to do that on a regular basis. It's the greatest joy, and it's just a joy you get, so you really just can't wait to work a little bit harder so you'll have a little bit more to help them out another time.
29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth.
In other words, just don't speak anything negative. Just speak the word of God. That's the Bible is God's language. Just speak that. Every time you speak a word against someone else, you speak it against yourself. If you criticize another member of the body of Christ, or the pastor, or the deacon, or the song leader, you're criticizing yourself. Maybe you're the toe, and maybe they're up there and they're in the mouth. But sooner or later, what you did with your toe, is they're going to know about it, and it's going to come back and hurt you. When you criticize someone else, you're criticizing yourself, because we are one body.
But that which is good to the use of edifying.
Edifying, building up. Build up people. In other words, if you're going to email all the time, try saying, go to your Facebook and start putting some truth on there. How about that? Instead of talking about yourself and your boyfriends and your troubles and all that kind of mess, how about some beautiful truth about, did you know we're in the fifth trump now?
That it may minister grace unto the hearers.
And then the people would hear it, that they will have unmerited favor. You're supposed to build up the body of Christ, not to tear it down. Because you remember, you're going to need building up. Don't you love somebody in the body of Christ that if you're down and you get in their presence, they're going to try to pick you up.
Amen.
Verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit.
Grieve not the Holy Spirit. Grieve means do not disappoint him. So every time the Holy Spirit tugs at your heart and wants you to come on up and be a complete Christian instead of a half-dedicated Christian, instead of a baby Christian, instead of a weak Christian, and every time you defiantly resist him or will not yield, it disappoints him. Don't overdo it. That heart hardened one time too much can be too late. You can cross over, and he'll leave that alone. That's that heart that we started talking about there at the beginning of this lesson.
God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption.
Remember in chapter 1 of Ephesians, verse 13, he says, when you got saved, the Holy Spirit came and sealed you to redemption. In other words, it's sort of like a down payment, a pledge. The word there was earnest, E-A-R-N-E-S-T, the earnest, the down payment. In Revelation chapter 11, it says here at the end times that the angels say, hold the four winds, hold the four winds. Don't bring forth the end of time until those who are going to be sealed in their forehead will be sealed. Say there are a few more elect yet to come in and wake up and get the truth. That's why I'm on the air. That's why I'm talking to you now. You out there, you hear that. And so we're waiting on you to come in because God loves you and needs you to be in your place. And then Revelation 19, the king of the bottomless pit, Abaddon in the Hebrew, and Abaddon in the Abaddon in the Hebrew, and Apollyon in the Greek. This is the Antichrist. It says he's been given instruction, do not touch any green tree who has a seal of God in their foreheads. So the Holy Spirit seals us for this, and then every time you ignore the Holy Spirit, that slight little nudge, that tiny little twist there, that little voice, that little nudge, every time you do that, you're grieving the very one that has sealed you for eternal redemption. Don't disappoint him. It breaks his heart.
31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from me.
Every bit of that. Clean it out. Put it before God. Clean it up. None of that has any place in a new creation, in your body, in your tongue, in your emails, and in your telephone call, in your social life. If you're really dedicated, your social life's going to become a God work life.
With all malice. Verse 32. And be kind one to another.
Kindness always comes back to you. And our Father pours out loving kindness every day.
Tenderhearted.
Tenderhearted. That's where you would not be cauterized in the heart. If you're cauterized in your heart, you might not be saved. You might have gone too far. It is a sign of a sanctified person whose heart is soft. You literally feel in your body the pain of another person in your association. You can't just stare at them and analyze whether the tear's going to fall on the shoulder or on the floor. You actually feel the pain. You're that tenderhearted. So he says to be tenderhearted. There is something about someone loving you enough that when you're crying, they cry with you. That helps the healing right there.
Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you.
So we forgive one another. Does that mean that we have to trust them again? Not right away. Does it mean that we have to socialize with them if they're not living right? Not right away. But in your heart, you forgive them, so there's no hard feeling toward them. Turn it over to God and go on to the next person. We'll begin right there next time. Paul is telling us the do's and the don'ts of living the Christian life, and he really got down today to some of the things we all face in our daily walk with God. Well, at this time, we're going to have mystery moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. And usually I introduce the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, anointed man of God, my twin friend Scott Merson. However, Scott and Angela and Max and Olivia, the beautiful family, have taken a few days off to go to their lake home. They really need that. Scott works so hard. He's the hardest working person I know except me. So he'll be back next week with us and his Scott stuff, so I will ask the questions. Here's question number one. Dear Sherry, what are those four beasts in Revelation 4? The translation is poor. It reads in the manuscripts Greek, they're four living creatures. They're called cherub. Their names are keep, guard, grab, and grasp. And they guard the mercy seat, which is reserved for the Lord Jesus. They do not have free will, because in the world that then was, 2 Peter 3:6, the first earth age, Lucifer, that beautiful cherub, was the covering cherub and was to guard it. He had free will. And he chose to sit on it, and that's what got us all in this trouble anyway. So that's who that is. Okay, let's see. The next question. Dear Sherry, in the book of Jude, it says they left their first habitation. Who left their first habitation, Sherry? That would be the fallen angels of Genesis 6, Napha in the Hebrew, Nephilim. The fallen angels left God before they were supposed to. All of us were in our spirit, and there was an appointed time for each of us to leave that habitation, come to earth to be born of woman, to choose Jesus or the devil. Here in this one time in the flesh, second earth lifetime. But they did not choose to be born of women. They came on in their angelic form. Instead, they seduced the women and bore the hybrid, the giants, which really was the cause of Noah's flood. And I'm probably giving you more than you can handle there, but that's who that is. Let's see, we have time for one more question here. Dear Sherry, in the book of Malachi, chapter 1, God says, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated, even when he was in the womb. Well, if you remember that Jacob and Esau were twin brothers, and the rest of the question is, does God hate the little baby in the womb? No, because that's not what it means. So we all came from God, and we're all there at Satan's caliber, Ephesians 1, verse 4, before the foundation of the earth, that was Satan's overthrow. So many of the people followed Satan. Obviously, Esau did. He didn't care about his heritage there. He left God there. And went and betrayed him and went to Satan. You can read Esau's life here on earth. Thing again, he fought his way to be the firstborn of those two little twins out of Rebekah's womb. So he got the first part of the will, the best part, and then he sold it to his brother Jacob for a bowl of stew. He didn't care about his birthright. God wants you to care about your place in the body of Christ. These good, beautiful jewels that God gives us, this beautiful way to live for God, to walk in the Spirit, to live supernaturally, to tell the truth, to pull people out of the fire, to live a holy life. God wants us, and to live close to Him. And so Jacob, of course, he loved, because Jacob's name was changed to Israel, and he had the 12 patriarchs through whom Jesus came. And so, now we miss Scott's stuff, but Scott will be back with us next week, and we will have that. Now, I want to pray for those of you who are sick, but just before I do, just in case anyone's lost, if you're not saved, I want you to pray this prayer with me and mean it. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned. I'm repeating it with you to help you. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Say that. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Please forgive all my sins. Please forgive all my sins. Wash them away with the blood of Jesus. Wash them away with the blood of Jesus. Use me. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Help me to be a blessing to everybody I meet. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Now, in a little bit, my announcer will give you my telephone number, so you might like to call and leave a message and let me know you were saved. Say your name really clearly, and I will certainly pray for you, and I love you. Welcome to the family of God. Now, let me pray for those of you who are sick. Precious Father, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus, hallelujah, I feel the presence of God in you. Just a scroll just flow through the air. In the name of Jesus, send the Holy Word of God, the Holy Word of God out into the ether waves, wherever people are listening now, to the north, the south, and the east, and the west. Let the scroll that contains the stripes of Jesus fall upon the one that is sick, the one that is diseased, the one that is dying, the one that is in pain. Let the scroll of the healing stripes of Jesus fall upon them and envelop them. With Jesus' stripes you are healed. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Let it fall. Let it fall. Let the healing fall. Healing, healing waters are flowing now all over this land. The healing waters are flowing. The Spirit is flowing. Hallelujah. Yahweh Rapha, the God who heals. He sent His word and healed you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Oh, merciful heaven. If I could just share with you sometimes the spiritual visions. I have that gift to see beyond the veil, and some of the things that happen is just gorgeous. God is so good. If you will heal, call and tell me that too. Don't forget our Christmas program December 24th, which is Christmas Eve, and it's on a Sunday, 5 p.m. We'll be in costumes. We're going to have a pretty program. I will be teaching the Word. We're going to have a little movie. We're going to have refreshments. We're going to have communion. And we're going to have all kinds of fun. You are welcome. And don't forget, Thursdays, 12 noon to 2 p.m., Scott meets me here, and we pray for you. You may also call in for prayer during that time on Thursdays. Wednesdays, 6 p.m., Word and Prayer. I love you, and God bless you. The Lord keep you. And remember this about Jesus, Yeshua. His name is called the Word of God. Until next time, this is Sherry Medlock and my twin friend Scott Merson saying, we love you. We bless you. May God put his left hand under your head, his right hand embrace you. And until next time, go and share the truth with your neighbor. Go and blow the trumpet of truth.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
When you say I got trouble, I got trouble all over me. I got trouble since the day I was born. And it's not just a struggle, well, it's the blood running through my veins. And it's all the clothes I've ever worn. 'Cause when I'm with you, I feel so overdressed. The trouble is I'm not above or beyond anything. So I know you must be good for me. As far as you can and as bad as I am. Well, I know you must be good for me. Terrible lover, I never love you the way I should. Oh, and every single reason's wrong. Oh, my sister, my brothers, we got history on our heels, and we're running like we broke the law. We're friends like these. Tell me, who needs
is you. The good that I am is just a reflection of you too.
Might be rich, you might be poor. Still your heart cries out for love. Once you've tasted of it, you hunger for more. I am no different, seems I'm hungry all of the time. Do you have enough to share with me? I'll share with you some of mine. Your arms around me, I'll put my arms around you. Greet me with a holy kiss, I'll greet you with one too. Oh, don't let go. Keep me in your sight, for there is no place closer to heaven. From a distance, as some would say, God in His mercy is here. Love is conquering sorrow, bringing hope to my tomorrow. He's the love within this place. He's the smile upon my face. Put your arms with one, two. Oh, darling, is no place, there is no place, there is no place closer to heaven than here with you.
Hey, this is Mark Ballmer from Lessons for Living. We hope that you're enjoying the radio program. This is a great radio station, 91.5. We pray that God will help you do life right.
You could not breathe. What if it's Him? What if it's God speaking? Have you ever cried a tear that you could not explain? Have you ever met a stranger who already knew your name? What if it's Him? What if it's God speaking? Who knows how we'll get a hold of us? Get our
What if he's somehow involved? What if he's speaking through it all? Who knows how we'll get a hold of us? Get our attention to prove it is enough. He'll do and he'll use whatever he wants to.
I can't wait to see you. your sisters play the way they do when all of you are playing all together. I can't wait to watch your brother's face when he can finally see with his own eyes that everything's okay. And I just have to